Okay, guys, are you ready to get started?
Yes. Woo!
My husband always says I have a very low voice, and that's why our children don't listen to me the first time. So bear with me. If I get too quiet, let me know, because I am a quiet person by nature. My name is Betsy Adair. We became members, and Living Faith became our family in 2015. God called us to North Carolina last summer, and it was really hard to move, but it's been a good move. Okay, so prayer is super simple. It's a conversation with God, right? It is built on the basis that we need God, and we can do nothing apart from God because He holds all things together. So He purposely set up the system where it demands dialogue and dependency to function properly. The Bible consistently tells us to always be prayerful. 1 Thessalonians 5:16 through 18 says, "Rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." So the format of prayer is pretty simple, and the Bible lays it out for us in Matthew. And can you read the Lord's Prayer for me? Thank you so much.
Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
Thank you so much. The Lord's Prayer is a great way, it's just a great attitude to start with in prayer, with praise and thanksgiving and putting God at the place of honor that He deserves. James 4:10 says, "Humble yourselves before the Lord and He will lift you up." One of my favorite verses, it's not about prayer, but it is, I'm so sorry, but it helps me to put everything in perspective, just because I've had so much guilt and shame in my life. I'm like, you know what? I need to hear this. It's 1 Timothy 1:15-16. And I'm reading from the NLT just because I like the wording. This says, "This is a trustworthy saying, and everyone should accept it. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, and I am the worst of them all." And the two most transforming words of the Bible, so underline them every time you see them. It says, "But God," because I'm a filthy heathen over here, "but God," and He changes it, right? "Had mercy on me so that Christ Jesus could use me, as a prime example of His great patience, even with the worst sinners. Then others will realize, too, that they, too, can believe in Him and receive eternal life." Every time I read that, it makes me emotional. Because He can use us. And that our testimony and being honest with it, people need to hear that. People can use that. God can use that to transform other people. And He is faithful in that. So that's my way of getting to a place of humility, but there's so many other different ways. You know, people go hiking or they worship. Worshiping with you all always puts me at that place, and it's so awesome. Quiet time, just sitting in silence. We are not good at silence these days, or not touching our phone, or not, you know, having something to do. We got to get comfortable with that. So once we get to that place of humility and we realize that it's not about us and that it's about God and Christ and what He did on the cross for us, then that's where we can start with a place of humility to go to the Father. There's many different ways you can pray. You can, you know, I could journal for hours and because that helps me not fall asleep while I'm praying. That's why I do that. But I love to pray scripture over people's lives and repeating God's truth and promises back to Him helps me to believe His truth and promises more and helps me to stand on those and remember those over and over and over again. So praying that into people's lives. There's tons of prayers in Ephesians or Colossians from Paul that you can just insert people's names in. and he makes it super easy. I like Psalms when I'm in a rut. I like to read them out loud, and my family thinks I'm crazy, but it's just a good reminder and a proclamation of praise, and just helps. I love how David's attitude is like totally stinks in some of them, and then it's flipped around, because that is me. Yeah. There are some days when I'm like, nope, not today. We're not doing that. So I don't get a lot of questions, but I've heard a lot of questions when people say, well, why do we say Jesus' name, amen? Like, why do we end with that? And it simply means, Jesus, let your will be done in all these situations. And whether you say yes, no, or maybe, just let your will be done. Because your will for the kingdom is good for everybody all around. So, John 14:13-14 says, and I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. And that's what, that's so refreshing. It's so good to like start prayer with thanksgiving and praise, and so good to end it. It's just a good bookend for anything in life, really. So I wanted to move on to the types of prayer. I am not schooled in this. Like, this is not my profession. So I just picked out some that I thought were pretty common. Communion prayer is just praying all day and all the time, in the car, in the shower, praying for the person that just cut you off, you know, like trying to just seek God. Jesus come. Prayers of supplication, lifting your needs up to God. We do this a lot. We're pretty familiar with that. Prayers of intercession, praying on the behalf of others. It's my favorite because we all need prayer. And I have never had one person, stranger or someone I knew, say, no, please don't pray for me. And when you tell someone, hey, I'm going to pray for you, instead of saying that, say, hey, let's pray. Do you mind if we pray right now? Nobody will say no to that, because we all know intrinsically that we need prayer. We need that dialogue with God. Spiritual warfare. There's spiritual warfare going on everywhere, inside of us, all around us. Satan is the enemy, and your spouse is not the enemy. Your roommate's not the enemy. He is the enemy, and he will manipulate things for whatever he wants for his purpose, I guess. Corporate prayer is what we do here at church. I'm part of a prayer group at our church. It's called The Furnace, and this one of our ladies, she always says, she puts on a card every week, like, will you agree with me that, I've asked her if I can share this, by the way. Will you agree with me that God heal so-and-so, or, you know, praying for others? And I'm like, I asked another lady, what is she talking about? You know, like, what do you mean, agree? Of course I agree with her. And she's like, no, like, corporately agree that God is more powerful than the cancer, or more powerful, and, you know, praise him through that. I'm like, oh, okay. Listen, the people of the South are powerful, okay? There is something about those Southern women that get me. They crack me open like an egg, right? They do. It's true. Autumn was the first one. It just kept going. Okay, reciprocating prayer. It's believers praying for believers. Paul did this all the time. He was an awesome example. Please pray for my perseverance, or please pray that God would open doors and bring opportunities, and then he would always be saying, I thank God continually for you. So it's just this whirlwind of prayer and awesome incense going up to heaven for other believers and carrying on God's will through that. That was awesome. Prayers of thanksgiving and praise, just counting your blessings and praising him. This is where we always start our kids off praying. You know, what are you thankful for? Let's, you know, thank Jesus for, you know, these people, or who are you thankful for? All that stuff. That's a good one. Fasting is one of my favorite. It's sacrificial prayer, giving up something that gives you life because you're expecting for God to speak. And so, that's just putting God back in that place. Now, obviously, if you have a health issue, there's other ways you can fast. But when I think of fasting, I guess I just think of food. So whether it's journaling, praying out loud during your quiet time, we have constant connection with God. I want to switch gears to listening to God and hearing from God and seeing what that looks like. I have Jesus saying from John 8:47, whoever belongs to God hears what God says. The reason you do not hear is that you do not belong to God. That is painful, you know, because there have been seasons where I have not heard from God for a long time. And I'm like, okay, well, maybe I'm not doing it right. Or did I not ask him to be my savior? You know? There's lots of voices around us and we listen to a lot of comments and criticism and social media. So these are all huge voices in our life constantly. We are constantly being fed something. So the main one is our voice. It's made up of our mind, which is our thoughts, our will. Our nature is selfishness. We are heathens the day we are born. We are heathens the day that we die. So we are sinners. and only Christ can cover that. Emotions are not trustworthy, and it is not truth. They come and they go. Our conscience is everything and all the experiences that we've had in our life that build up and help us to discern what's right and wrong, which isn't always right and wrong, you know? So these are like our opinions to put in. The world's voice is Satan. So Satan is a small g god of this world, and he's constantly manipulating and feeding us lies. He is constantly lying to us. 2 Corinthians 4:4 says, the god of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers, so they cannot see the light of the gospel that displays the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. Satan has come to kill, steal, and destroy, and he will take every good thing and try to manipulate it to that end. He will package it in the prettiest thing and everything you thought you wanted, and he will manipulate it. The third voice is God's voice. God speaks to us through the Holy Spirit. Romans 8:26-27 says, in the same way the Spirit helps us in our weakness, we do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God. That is such a relief, because I don't know about you, but I have times where I'm like, I don't even know what to pray. I don't even know what to say. Or someone will come up to me and say, hey, can you pray about this? And you are so like, oh, I cannot believe that happened to you. And you're just like, I don't know how to pray for this. But you know what they need. You know the backstory. You know everything I couldn't hear. And I don't. And I am not in control of that anyway. So that just brings me a lot of peace. So then how do we know that it's God's voice? How do we know that it's not our voice or a lie? The first way is through his word and his truth, because that is how we know God's character. If someone came up to me today and said, you know what? Or no, not today, because you all know it now, but... a week ago and said, oh, at life group last night, Autumn just told me like this really bad thing that you did and now everybody knows. I'd say, no, she didn't. Because I have been in so many situations with her and had so many conversations with her where she's like, no, we're not going to be talking about that. Or you, if you need to talk to, like, if we're going to talk about it, you need to go talk to that person about it. If you have that problem, not me. Because I know her character. I have been in those situations. I have had a relationship with her, and I have told her my deepest, darkest secret, And so I know, I knew I could trust her with that because I have been through that with her. If our knowledge of God is shallow, the chances of us hearing him consistently are also going to be slim. It's important to have that communion constantly with him, whether it's, you know, it's all interconnected. Reading, worshiping, being in the body of believers, it's all interconnected. The next one is through his family, which is the church. Y'all are my family. I'm so happy and grateful for that because I need it just as much as anyone else does. So it's so important to not only worship corporately, but to also seek out wise counsel when you need it. And even when you don't need it, you need someone pouring into your life. And don't wait for someone to come up to you and just hoping that they're going to come because I really like them or something. But go seek them out and be bold in that because nobody's a mind reader. Only God. Mm-hmm. And listen to that still small voice that's saying, maybe you should talk to them. They want to talk to you. Proverbs 11:14 says, for lack of guidance, a nation falls, but victory is won through many advisors. If you see good fruit in someone's life that you want, go ask them about it. Go ask them how they got there, because they might not have always had that good fruit. Yeah. Chances are they haven't, I mean, most likely. So there is a reason. The next one is through his tone. God's tone is not condemning. God's tone is peaceful. He is a God of order and not chaos and not confusion. Bless you. He is full of peace. So Romans 8:1 is awesome. It reminds us that therefore there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. His gentle, small voice is also very powerful. Conviction is from God. Conviction can be that small voice, you know. That's usually how, sometimes he talks to me. He's like, hey, go talk to her. I'm like, yeah, God, no, a little to the left. Like, I don't have time. He's like, no, you got to give it. And keeps coming back around. Sometimes conviction is quick and loud, like my son crossing the street without looking. And I say, Isaac, no, stop. Sometimes it's that, so we don't get hurt because he doesn't want to hurt us or he doesn't want us to get hurt. Sometimes it takes that to learn, though. And sometimes it takes a while for conviction to go away. It takes a repentant, for however long it takes our hearts to repent and to turn fully the opposite way, sometimes that conviction is coming back. So, like, for the last year when God would say, go talk to her. It just kept coming back every time I saw her. Every time I'm like, nope, she doesn't want to talk to me. And I don't want to do that here. But God does not keep a record of wrongs. Instead, Isaiah tells us he chooses to forget, which is awesome. God will never attack our value. And he most often speaks to encourage. But he does not promise it'll be easy. So we talked about how prayer is interconnected. Do you know what time it is? Okay. I get like on rabbit trails, so I'm sorry. I wrote down three practical things to do because they are interconnected. The first one I put a quote from Charles Stanley. It says, make time for God daily a priority, pursue and persist. A relationship is pursuing and persisting in priority. When you ask someone to coffee, you are pursuing them. When you say, hey, that was fun, let's do it again, you're persisting and you're making it a priority. So make an appointment for it. Like literally, if that's what it takes to protect that time with God, make a priority. Because life gets in the way. And we make not dates. You know, we schedule, like, dumb stuff. Like, I'm running from 2 to 3 today, and I will be, you know, getting a haircut. I don't know. That's not, I guess that's not quite as dumb, but mine would be taking a nap from 2 to 4. But
naps are important.
They are so important. Oh my gosh.
I can't take them, but.
Oh, but they're important. I hope you do one day. So, before bed, after bed, waking up, the quiet time, whenever you can protect that time and find that time and protect it. So, I know when I start to do it, I do it at 5 o'clock in the morning because my children, I know my children are still sleeping. But every day, it's like 5:35, I hear a, like, not like that, like a thump on the ground, and I know one of them's up, and I feel like this, oh, something boiling inside, but they'll like peek in and say, hi, I'm up, and then we're good. But that is the time when I know that I will not be interrupted and that I can just connect. And it used to be at night when they were in bed, but there's... Yes. Oh my gosh, my children. My children wake up so early. Yeah, so early. Oh my goodness. It is crazy. So I'm up. If you need to call at 5:30, I am up. I got you. Now, if you want to call me at 10:30, I'm not up at night. But, you know, I'm always thinking, I'm like, man, I should do a load of laundry or, you know, there's always stuff to get done, but that'll wait. And God's a gentleman. He'll wait too. But he's waiting on you. You know, he's a gentleman. He will not push into your life unless you invite him. It's important that we invite him. Make space. So don't try to multitask praying. I know. There's like communion prayer where you're doing stuff and that's fine. But make space and time for silence and for decluttering your mind. Psalm 46:10, be still and know that I'm God. So we need to practice being still a little bit more. Number 3 is making it happen. Most powerful thing Autumn ever told me was to listen and obey. I'm like, well, that sounds easy. She's like, is it though? Yeah, no, it's not. The less we obey, the less we hear God's voice. 1 Thessalonians 5:19, do not quench the spirit. That's how we quench the spirit. We do not listen to God. We do not obey what he is telling us to do. Just go do it. We're not doing it. And we're saying, nah, little to the left. I don't have enough time. Or that's not logical. A.W. Tozer said, the one who does not expect God to speak will discount every single time that God does speak. So that's quenching the spirit, saying that wasn't God. Sometimes he's not speaking because you didn't do the last thing he told you to do. So he said, hey, go do that. And sometimes it's because that's preparing you for the next thing he's going to speak. You have to get to that point. It's like a checkpoint or like passing the baton, like, okay, like relay race. I love when Paul says that. So hopefully some of these are practical for you. And hopefully your prayer life grows. I pray for all of you, even if I don't know you, because I love this church so much. And I am not a professional. But I am so grateful for you guys. I put a couple extra little prayer verses at the end just because those were two that I like to. 1 Peter 4:7, the end of the world is coming soon. Therefore, be earnest and disciplined in your prayers. I grew up in the era of brimstone and fire and you're going to hell if you don't do this. So I like to hear the end of the world is coming soon. That is a good reminder and that reminds me of my childhood. I need to be reminded. pray in the spirit at all times and on every occasion. Stay alert and persistent in your prayers for believers everywhere. Priority, pursue, persist. Constantly. That is what God is doing to us, and we also need to be doing it towards God to drown out the enemy, because he is also powerful and trying to manipulate things. If you have any questions,
What do you do on days when you just can't seem to pray?
I read Psalms out loud walking around my house like a crazy person.
Sorry for the recording. Can you repeat the question back?
What do you do on days
when you just like
when you just can't pray? Yeah, I start reading Psalms. First, I have to get my heart to like a worship place, because when I'm worshiping, it's easy to praise God. And it's easy to pray to God. I journal. I have my journal here. I don't know where in my purse, but and I'll tell God, I don't know what to say. And then I could, you know, I write scripture verses to get it. But I mean, when I finally submitted to my husband when God was calling us to North Carolina and said, okay, God, fine, I'll listen to him. I told Autumn, I'm like, I don't even know if I can pray anymore. So I just had to, you know, switch gears. Everybody needs a little change and shaking up sometimes.
What do you do when there's so much noise that it's hard to listen?
I get away from the noise.
What if it's in your
head? The noise in your head? Yes, I have a lot of that too. I had a lot of that when Will and I were separated for a year, and I like literally said, God, you need to write it in the sky, because I cannot, like, I have so much anxiety and worry, and you know, I don't know what's going on, but I need you to write it in the sky for me, and I need you to tell me what step to take next, because I don't even feel like I can breathe. So tell me what to do next. And he literally told me what to do next. Or somebody would say, hey, have you considered? I'd be like, yeah, maybe. And then I'd say, God, is that something that I need to do? And then the opportunity would open. So it's pursuing and persisting and pursuing constant. It's constant.
Last Sunday, Adam shared the story of when you prayed for him and Kelsey and Oliver and his family during that really stressful evening. And he said that from 3 to 7 or whatever, that 4-hour chunk in the middle of the night, that you were just constantly in prayer and praying through that and praying for his family. What did that 4 hours look like? Because as desperate as you can be to see God move in that, personally, I don't know what past 5-10 minutes, what more I can say to God. What did that long, drawn-out period of time look like in those?
It was a lot of praise, praising through the storm. And there was a lot of pacing in my bedroom, because my husband had gotten up and gone to work, and he's like, and I said, I haven't heard anything from Adam, because we knew she was in labor, and but it was a lot of praise, and God, even if it's the worst thing, and we just want your will, you know, because there will be good that comes out of it, but please, 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 please put breath in this baby's lungs, you know, just that pleading. Yeah, there was just lots of praise, and Kelsey said that she was, you know, praising, so, just, there's Ollie. Yes, ma'am.
How do you, in short, because sometimes we don't have a lot of time with people when we want to pray, so when you run across people that you know God's saying you should pray for them, how do you decide quickly what it is and not go like, you know, like, you know, I hate to
like
talk,
when they...
so it's long-winded, so how do you just quickly, like sometimes I'm just supposed to go and pray with someone, but
right.
How do you make it to where it's very constructive and to the point, and how do you let them know, like, this is it, this is God, this is prayer, without like having to go through a whole spiel of stuff, like do you have a short
explain it to them,
like how strong it is, how much it means to pray. Is there ever times like when you're with people or you go, come across somebody and they don't feel the same way? So you
constantly
have a certain like go-to or glitch that you do that it's not long, or is it just each time it's different?
It's different. Obviously, it depends on how much time you have, but when I worked in the hospital, I would try to pray with most of my patients on my team. Sometimes there was an opportunity, like they'd code and have to go to ICU, you know, like that kind of thing. But even when I knew they were a different religion, and I'd say, hey, do you mind if I pray for you? They'd always say yes. And that was so nerve-wracking to me because it's, you know, you feel like they're rejecting you and they're not. But I would say, well, is there something you want me to pray for you? And sometimes they say no, like just, you know, anything's fine. And I just pray, you know, for that situation, for their healing, and also for their hearts, and that God would protect their mind, body, and spirit. And you know, I think it's different for every person in every situation, and to just taking consideration that we're just like the messenger and the vessel, so we don't know it all, but and they know what they're going through, and God knows even more what they're going through and why. And so asking them, hey, how can I pray for you, kind of gives you a little bit of insight, and then following up, if they pop back into your mind, definitely praying for them. I had a good friend, she was our kids' babysitter when we went to our old church, and I said, I just would see her, she's a single mom of five kids, and I'd see her schlepping her kids to church every week, and she'd be so happy, and I'm like, wow, she's awesome. There was a lot of stuff going on in her life, and I didn't even know her, but I just observed her for a long time, and one day, God said, you need to pray for Christina, and so I'm like, okay, so I pray for her, and then I happened to say on Sunday, just in passing, I don't know you, I don't know what you're going through, but God was telling me to pray for you all week, and she just cried, and she's like, there is so much going on, and I don't even know what to do, and she didn't tell me what it was, and then later, she made Jesus the boss of her life, and she said, what you told me was like the confirmation that this is where I need to be. So I had no clue, and I'm like, oh, that's awesome. Because sometimes you don't know if that impacted them, so, and that's not our job. So. Yes, ma'am.
I like to talk. But when you're praying out loud in front of people, it makes me extremely nervous. So how do you get the confidence?
It makes me extremely nervous, too. When you said that, I just realized I didn't pray to start this. I'm a journaler, so I write all my stuff down. And I like to pray one-on-one with people or, like, in a group. But praying, like, in front of church, talking anytime in front of people makes me nervous. So, I still don't know how to get over that, but
that was a really good prayer.
Oh yeah, well you should hear some of the Southern ladies pray. They could go on, and it's like I could just listen to you all day. I don't know. I honestly don't know how to answer that question, but I know that memorizing scripture and praying scripture is always a good way to go. In everything, because that is repeating God's promises and truth back, and that holds true in your heart. It's planted deeper and softer in your heart. That would, I guess, be my answer.
We can pray with the world.
Yes, I know. Good grief. Good grief, Lindsay. I say that all the time. And I say it all the time. Yeah,
like
right.
Bringing together a prayer that means nothing out of stuff.
Right, because you're nervous. And
Yeah. How to not?
I think. think, like, I don't like to pause. I like to, you know, have constant conversation going, even if it's meaningless, and that's not good.
Yeah.
So, pausing is not a bad thing. Mm-hmm. I know when Kristen was praying with me today, and she paused, and I'm like, I am so thankful for these pauses, because then you can go back through, and then you can, like, retrieve in that bank, and kind of meditate on God's word that's hidden in your heart, and pray on that, too. So it kind of coincides with what Nancy was saying.
I think some of that, you want to, your prayer to be authentic. It's
yes.
not for people pleasing.
And right.
You're not praying to please everybody in the room. You are praying to connect everyone in the room with God.
Mm-hmm.
And you're doing it for Him and for, like, the relationship and the community that you're in. So the nervousness, I mean, at a certain point, you just have to say, you know what, God, this isn't for me. This
right.
is about me. So you just take it. And if you pause and if you stutter and if it's not the most well-spoken prayer, that doesn't mean anything.
Right.
Like, I mean, that your prayer's to God. And it's not, like, it just needs to be coming from a true and authentic place. And if somebody's judging you because your prayer wasn't great, they have the heart issue in themselves that they need to work out.
Exactly.
So that's kind of what I take from
that. That is awesome. Yes. You want to answer the rest of my question?
Can I say, I think she's absolutely right, but
yeah.
I think there's a layer to this that's kind of being missed. It's like, Ashley's personality talks a lot.
Right.
Alex's personality does not.
Right.
And God created
that. I'm not. Sorry.
He created you that.
Yeah.
Right.
So it's just, you are what He did. I mean, I wouldn't judge
yes.
it that way. It's like,
yeah.
pray, like she said.
Right.
You are. Pray, just pray that way.
Yeah.
And just do it.
Yeah.
And if you pause, great. Like you said, it's a good time to reflect. And if you don't, well, the person who's listening is going to process what they can of it anyway.
Right. And God made you that way for a reason. Mm-hmm. You know, that's not a weakness. That's a strength.
Do you have any tips for, like, if you're trying to pray through a decision or something that you feel like, because it's a big decision, needs prayer, but you've already kind of made the decision on what you're going to do?
Because
at that point, it kind of
God, I heard you, but a little to the left. that's where you seek out wise counsel,
mm-hmm.
you know, and pray with other people.
Yeah.
And definitely seeking God's will in that.
Yeah, because I've definitely felt like if I pray about myself, I'm only going to hear what I want to hear because I've already...
No. Necessarily.
No.
But, I mean, it's a difference than, like, listing out, like, one, you know, He's not a genie.
No.
He's God. We pray in His will, and His will in our lives, or His will in the church's life, you know, and what our role is in that. And that's why we have wise counsel to say, hey, this is a decision that I'm battling. You know, what do you think about this? Can you pray with this for me, or pray for me with this, through this? Right.
Well, that's when it's harder. When I know that it's not outside God's character, but it's also something I want, then it's hard to decide, okay, well, is it just something I want, or is He actually telling me to do that?
Mm-hmm. I think then, though, like, it's being that, like, really consistent in praying for it, like, every day,
mm-hmm.
like, at least once or twice a day, like, praying for it. If you keep hearing the same thing, it's probably God.
Right. Still
because if it's just you, then God's going to, like, smack you across the face at some point and be like, no, stop. But if it's something you want and something God wants, then, like, you're just going to keep hearing it.
Yep.
You just sit in front of Him and be like, I'm not leaving this conversation until I know it's you.
There's that.
Sometimes you have to just sit there and go, I'm not moving.
Yeah.
Until you give me this answer, and that's when, like, the fasting comes
yeah,
in.
Yeah, fasting,
like,
is good for that.
Time.
Right. Awesome.
Cool. Well, we're a minute past, so that's...
Aww. Okay, well, let me pray real quick. Since I didn't. Father, thank You so much. So much that You built Your church on broken people. That You chose us to tell others about the hope that we have in you, Lord, that you wrote us your love story, Lord, your love letter to us, which is the Bible, Lord. Thank you so much for that instruction manual, and thank you so much for your word. Lord, we pray with grateful hearts. You tell us that where two or more are gathered together in your name, Lord, that you are with us, and we believe that, and we do not take that lightly, that we have the freedom to do that. Lord, I just pray that you grow us in our prayer life with you and our relationship with you. Lord, I pray that we pray in your will, and God, you are so good, and we are so thankful. Lord, thank you for everything you do. In Jesus' name, amen.